Welcome back once again. A tremendous Friday to you. I am not messing with this. Big, big game this weekend, so I'm going to jump right into it. Hour number one, we are joined now by the head football coach at Oregon. He was named head coach on December 11th, previously an assistant at Georgia, Bama, Pitt, Arizona State, and Memphis. Oregon is ranked top 10. They're 5-1. They're 3-0 in conference play. They're putting up 42 points per game, and they are hosting number 9 UCLA tomorrow. We are joined by Ducks head coach Dan Lanning. Dan, it is great to have you on the show. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, great. Doing great this morning. Appreciate you having me on, Jim.
It's good to have you. Really good to have you. So you've got a tremendous opportunity. You've got number 10 UCLA coming to town tomorrow. Let me ask you, Dan, how did the week of practice go in your mind, and then how pumped up are you for the opportunity?
We're excited to play. And this is one of those games that doesn't take any extra juice for your players. Every day they walk out to practice, they're excited to get better, too. So we just got to go out there and put our best foot forward and execute at a high level.
All right, so as I mentioned, UCLA's top 10. Of course, you got Chip Kelly returning to Eugene, and I know your fans. You don't have to tell them. I know they'll be juiced up as well. What kind of an atmosphere are you expecting at Autzen Stadium tomorrow?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun so far this season, experiencing that firsthand, but I think this is going to be the best one yet. And game day will start early. I think it'll be 6 o'clock out here with that cranked up and rolling, and obviously the environment of having really two top 10 teams going against each other is going to make for a really special place.
Oregon head coach Dan Lanning is my guest. So, of course, when you think about UCLA, Dan, I'm sure a lot of things come to mind, but you start with the quarterback, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Obviously a really dynamic player. He knows their system. He's executing at a high level. What is the key to slowing him down?
Well, it's just that. It's making sure that one person is not the one person that can beat you, and he has that ability. He has gameplay. Big playmaking ability every single play that he touches the ball. I think one of the best things he does is doesn't make bad decisions, right? So if it's not there, he can take it off and run with his feet. He's also really active in the run game, so have to be conscious of him at all times.
I was going to say, how much of a threat to you is he with his legs, and how critical is it to defend the quarterback run tomorrow? I would imagine that accountability is something, right? Now you're accountable for all 11 at all times.
That's it. A lot of times on defense, you can play with 10 and then have a middle field safety or have an extra hat somewhere else. And when you play a team like this, it's a lot harder to have extra hats, right? Everybody has to be accountable across the board.
Talking to Oregon head coach Dan Lanning. So, Dan, I would imagine you might say the same thing about your own quarterback, right, Bo Nix. He knows the system. He's executing at a really high level. But unlike DTR, he's new to the program. He's new to the conference. So what do you make of how he's taken to and adjusted to a completely new situation and challenge?
Yeah, Bo's done a great job. He's met every one of our expectations. And obviously, we've always thought really highly of him as a player. That's why we brought him here. And he's executing at a really high level. And just like DTR, he can run, right? And I think that's always dangerous when you have a quarterback that can run and throw the ball well. It makes it tough to where you can defend one thing or the other.
I've seen that you like to tell your guys, play the game, not the moment. Play the game, not the moment. I like that. What does that mean?
Well, it just means that this game has a lot of fanfare around it. And the reality is all that fanfare has nothing to do with what happens between the white lines. And the only reason there's this much fanfare is because of what you've done between the white lines. So focus on what got us here, right? Play the game that happens between the white lines. None of the fans are going to be playing in this game. None of the TV broadcasters, none of the media personnel, none of them are going to be in this game. It's us that affects the game. So that's really what it means. Play the game between the white lines and execute.
Dan Lanning is my guest. Dan, a question about the bye week is not the sexiest thing, but I'm really curious about this. Like, the bye week is so important because you want to use it and you want to get guys rest and recovery, especially if they're banged up. But I'm curious, how do you approach it? Can you approach it more proactively in the sense that can you actually get better as a team during the bye week?
Yeah, I think the best teams do. And, talking to our team yesterday, I asked them, what do you think some of our advantages were? And they're like, Coach, we threw shoulder pads on the entire bye week. I'm like, yeah, we worked, So it's certainly a time for rest and recovery, but it's a time for us to get better. We had individual improvement plan for every one of our players that week. Here's what they got to focus on to get better, what we can get better on as a staff. And it also lets you kind of deep dive back into the things that you get during fall camp where you have a lot of connection with your players. You lose a little bit of that during the season. So having some events outside of football is a big moment during bye weeks.
Yeah, Dan, it seems to me I'm on the outside looking in, but I could see where a young coach like you might be overwhelmed by an opportunity like this. But you're clearly making the most of your first head coaching experience. Like, I get that you're in it. I get there's a lot of work ahead. But what has the experience been like so far for you, and what's the biggest adjustment you've had to make?
I think the biggest benefit I have is I have a really great coaching staff, and I got players that are hungry that want to get better. So it makes my job a lot easier when you have great people around you that are good at their jobs, and you let them execute and operate at a high level. It really makes the things that you have to do as a head coach a lot easier. So it hasn't been that crazy of a transition. I got to watch some really good head coaches do it for a long time before I sat in this seat. And the biggest thing I learned is be yourself and let your coaches coach.
Yeah, you actually ripped my next question. I was going to say, because you worked on both Nick Saban and Kirby Smart's staff, you've seen the best of the best. Like, what's the single thing that you learned from each of them, if you can share that? One from each.
Yeah, I think with Nick, it's that you can learn something from anybody. You know, it really doesn't matter who's in the room. If there's something that you can get better at, I think he's one of the best at taking something that somebody else does and says, okay, we need to figure out how we can incorporate that into our program and use it. And then I think with, Kirby, it's really his ability to quality control a situation, whether it's traveling back from a game and saying, hey, next time we travel, I want this sandwich instead of this. I want to do a 6-minute warm-up before the game instead of 10-minute warm-up. Really be able to assess the situation, say what went right, what went wrong, regardless of win or loss, how can we do it better next time we do it? And I think that's why you see both those programs. I think people think they rule with an iron fist, but what they do is they do a phenomenal job of adapting and growing in the moment and changing over time. And that's what I learned from both those guys.
Talking to Dan Lanning, I love that response. Thanks for that. Now, listen, you've been in this conference before because you worked for Todd Graham at Arizona State. So you've had conference experience in the Pac-12. And, of course, you worked at the highest levels in the SEC. Totally different animals. But in terms of depth and quality, how does the Pac-12 compare to the SEC in your mind?
Yeah, I've been impressed, week in and week out, just with the level of coaching and the players in this league right now. I think there's an excitement surrounding this league. There's some really good teams here, and I think you see it because every week you pull up the schedule and you're like, oh, gosh, all right, here we go again. Let's go. And that's what you want. You want to be able to play at a high level. Obviously, the SEC is a really talented conference, has great players and great coaches and teams, but this conference does as well.
All right, so before you go, share a story really quickly. Like so many others, your path to get where you are is pretty fascinating. You met Todd Graham, who I mentioned. He was at Pitt back in the day when you first met him. Where were you when you first met him? And then how did you end up working for him at Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I was a high school coach at Park Hill South High School and an elementary PE teacher. And this story could get really long, so we don't probably have time for it.
But I do. I got nowhere to be, coach.
Well, so for a long time, I'm the guy that's sending out letters every year to coaches that I don't really know, trying to say, hey, I'd love an opportunity to come scrub toilets, pour coffee, and be a GA or quality control. And eventually I'd gotten a response from a coach at Pitt. His name's Keith Patterson. He was the defensive coordinator. They had just taken the job, and he said, hey, I'll give you a call, probably after signing day. And the call didn't come. But I told my wife, she was pregnant at the time, and we had a 1-year-old. But I told my wife, this is the closest I've ever been to getting a response. I'm going to drive to Pittsburgh tomorrow. So I drove to Pittsburgh. It's about, somewhere around 13-hour drive. And I waited outside, and I found out that the coaching staff wasn't even there. They were actually all at Penn State for a clinic. So stayed the night, got to meet a couple people there at Pitt, and waited for Coach Patterson to come back. And met with him the next day and just said, hey, I'll do whatever it takes. I'd like to coach college football. So I got started there, I think around $800 a month as a quality control coach. Went and moved the family out, and that was kind of my beginning. And then Coach Graham obviously gave me an opportunity from there to go with him to Arizona State, grew as a graduate assistant, and the rest is kind of history from there. But that was the beginning.
Absolute gold. I love that story. That is such a great story. He is the head football coach at Oregon. And again, a big opportunity. You got Oregon, UCLA coming up this weekend. Top 10 schools, a really, really good matchup. Dan, really appreciate that story. Appreciate you. Good luck and great to have you on the program. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim. Have a great one.
You too. Dan Lanning. Love that. It's a really young coach who's not at all overwhelmed by the moment. Clearly somebody who had a plan and worked that plan. drove 13 hours to meet with the guy, and they weren't there and stayed and waited. That is such a great story. All right, who do you got? Who do you like? I love that matchup. Oregon, UCLA, top 10 at Autzen. Also, one big question. The locals there love to say, you know, it rains. It rains around the state, but never at Autzen. It's supposed to rain at Autzen tomorrow. So since they both like to put points up, sling it around, get it going, UCLA now, they can run the ball. Don't underestimate their ability to run the ball. It's going to be really interesting to see if it does rain, how it impacts that game. Once again, who you got? You know it's big if I've got to get to him early on a Friday, and I did.